like I mentioned, like someone to do your cut. If you make formica tables or chairs or furniture, now all of a sudden turn some of the machinery around and make those cabinets that organize your closets.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, so it's there, it's doable. You just gotta do it.
And I think, unfortunately, what's getting to be a niche for a lot of businesses is customer service. Because, I mean, we've already talked about that, but that seems to be such a relic nowadays. If you can have a tremendous amount of customer service, I mean, you're in a niche by yourself. That's why I've emphasized so much the importance of taking care of the customer. Because without that customer, you know, we're nothing.
Yes, yes, 100%. You know, the future of this country, the future of the United States of America is service.
Yeah.
That's who we are. That's who we will be. We cannot afford to sit and make the toys, the Chinese and the Philippines and Mexico, those countries make those cheap, cheap toys because their labor is cheap. We can't do that. We're communication. We sit at a computer. We'll buy a ship load. And notice I said SHIP load of toys or widgets, let's call them, from China. And we will sell it over the computer to Australia or to South America, which is a big user of these cheap Chinese toys and so on. So all we do is move paper, shuffle paper. And by paper, I also mean doing it on computer and what you call the cell phones and so on. So that's all we do. We are service. That's service pays us. So there is no service anymore in retail. You know, a lot of the retailers are suffering and all. People just, I don't know, America has lost service.
Yeah.
It's a shame. It used to be.
It really is.
But not anymore. So I know of waitresses. I know of my own daughter who makes twice the regular waitress. I keep asking her, why do you make twice? She said, I don't know. I just treat people right and I give them a free pie in the end because I'm allowed to do it. And the customer feels obligated. He pays me for the pie in my tip.
Right.
Plus, he gives me my tip. Plus, he gives me for exceptional service. So I get really, Dad, I make sometimes 2-3 times what the normal waitress is. And any restaurant she goes to, and she's not sure why either. But I guess it's some of me has rubbed off on her. Hey, I want to take some of that credit. But
I'm sure it has.
Service is important.
Yeah, service is a niche in itself.
And any business that anybody is even thinking of starting for the future, seriously think about service business. But you better not be a grouch.
Yeah.
You better have a happy face, nice teeth, a good smile. All that makes a difference.
Go ahead. No.
Well, people who are taller. People who are good looking.
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys make more money. You know, short, balding, fat guys like me, we have to work twice as hard to make the same dollar that you do. And these are facts. You know, this is true. It's not made up, but it's a perception. You know, looks are a big thing in this country. And if you can add service to it, believe me, the sky is the limit.
Yeah, no question about that. In fact, I was talking about the fact that people don't treat you right. I was at a restaurant, and I came so close to walking out. I just could not believe how rude this woman was. So my family make fun of me because I like to have a lot of fun when I go to a restaurant. So they make fun of me, tell me that every time I go in a restaurant, so you think you can make this waitress cry?
Well, you know,
I'll test them.
Whoever is listening to this, you try this experiment. Go to a restaurant. Wherever you go, you'll find the waitress is good the first 5 seconds. Then the service goes down real low. Ask for something out of the ordinary, like a piece of lemon with whatever, or say Tabasco sauce, which I normally ask for.
Something they don't usually have, maybe.
Right. Or even if they have it, but it's out of the ordinary. Very few people ask for Tabasco sauce. And you'll find you won't get it. You try it. I'm going to prove it to you. Or ask for water without ice or wine with 2 cubes of ice. You will not get it. It will not happen 9 out of 10 times.
Isn't that a shame?
And then eventually when you ask for it the second or the third time, you get it. By that time, you've lost the pleasure of dining out. That's the reason you go out to dine, because you want to be served. So, but in the last 3 minutes, 2 minutes of servicing you, that waitress becomes a wonderful Pollyanna all over again. She's just terrific, because that's the tip time. So notice it, make a note, you'll see what my point is true. The first few seconds, they treat you great. The last minute, you get great treatment. But in the middle, you know, I don't want phone calls and emails from waitresses. I mean, my daughter is a waitress, so I don't look down on the profession or anything. I just feel that it's not, the service is not what it used to be, especially when you go out to eat. You want something unusual, even if it's on, they're just used to the same thing over and over. To be served, to go out and dine, you want something different. You want Tabasco, you want a piece of lemon, or you want whipped cream on your chocolate, whatever you want. The extras, they just don't remember.
And that's why it's so important to do it, because it is a niche. You know, there's so few people out there really, really understanding customer service, and it's not that difficult. I mean, my theory is all you do is put yourself in their shoes, in your customer's shoes. That's it. What would you want? And I think a customer is so important that when we curtail to them, that the business, like you said, it just grows, grows, and grows.
Yes, yes.
You know, talking about growing business, I want to get your thinking on franchises, because I know, you know, we've discussed that you've now purchased 3 franchises since you've decided that life was boring in retirement.
Yeah, so, all you guys are working. All my friends are working.
So tell me about, you know, either purchasing a franchise, or, of course, we're focusing on increasing your income, so maybe starting your own franchise. In fact, I was with a friend recently, and he started a very large company, but because of some changes in his life, he's unable to manage that company now. But later on, he wants to start it back again, and one thing he regrets is not putting his business and setting up it at a point where he could franchise.
Yeah, franchises are a wonderful way for someone who is unsure of themselves. Now, if 1,000 people are listening to this, or 5,000 people, 20-30% of you are unsure. You're scared. You've worked for a corporation all your life. You're not sure what life holds. You have X amount of dollars, and you don't want to do something because you don't want to lose it. And that's good. That feeling should be in the pit of your stomach. That means you're going to be awfully careful about how you spend your money. Franchises are a good way, because they've already taken the machete and cut the path for you through the jungle. So you have a path to follow. There are no landmines along the way for you to blow up. So it's, yes, you do have to pay them, whatever, two,
you have
five.
To pay somebody to go look for the landmines.
Exactly. You have to pay for that service, but in the long run, you still make money. You come out ahead. You sleep well. You have a fantastic support. And I shouldn't say that, because some franchises don't have fantastic support. But more in all, they're
the name brand ones, at least.
Yes, you know, and the government watches over them, and you've got the organizations that watch over, make sure that franchises do what they're supposed to do. And I think, and I'm not 100% sure, but the success rate on franchises is about 90%, whereas the success rate of going into business on your own is the opposite. It's 10%. And I don't mean to frighten you, but these are the numbers that come out of Washington, and I'm just quoting them. So A franchise is really a good pay. If you have experience and you've been around the block a couple of times, then it's wonderful to do your own thing because you get to keep it all. You make a lot more money. You can do what you like. You have less rules and regulations to follow because the franchisor is not making you do this and making you do that. You can spread your wings. You can test. You can live your dream. But you also need to know that no matter what, there will be landmines along the way. And if you expect them, then it's good. If something happens, you say, hey, it's okay. I expected a couple of things to go wrong, and this is just one of them. And keep in mind that, you know, there's a Murphy's Law.
Yep.
Anything that can possibly go wrong will go wrong. But you guys who have been around the block know about this. So there are two groups. The ones that are completely naive to the business world, hey, go with the franchise. The ones who know what they're doing, if you want to go with a franchise, you'll actually even thrive more.
Or if they want to really stretch, they can create their own franchise.
Exactly. If you have found a niche, then yes, go create your own franchise. While I'm talking, I'm thinking here, someone I spoke to the other day is onto something, is doing something very well, and I asked him, I said, why don't you franchise it? And he said, I'm seriously thinking about it. And I just can't remember. Maybe it'll come to me a little bit later, but yes, there are companies who will take your idea, spend their money, franchise you for a piece of the action. Don't be afraid to share that with them, because without them, you won't grow. So don't be afraid to spread some of your money, because money makes money. And I'd rather make 60% of $1 billion than 100% of $1 million. So that's how it works. These guys can really make you grow, and there are associations that do that. They take the risk with you. It's your idea and their risk. It's a good way to it's like when you've squeezed all the juice out of an orange and you just don't know where else to go. Well, now it's the time to start making marmalade with the peels.
Right.
So it's a good way to go further.
Good point. So let's say you franchise. You either buy one, you own one. Either way, you have your own company. Now you start to get people working for you. I know one of your successes in the businesses that you've had in the past was the ability to have your employees be very loyal to you. Talk to me about some of the things that you did to create that loyalty, to create that motivation for them, the incentives that you did.
Well, loyalty and incentives, you know, are two different things. Loyalty, you can't demand, you've got to earn it. The way you earn it is if you're true to your employees. You really need to be fair and true to them. And yes, some of them don't deserve it, but then you part company with those and you build a team. You take your time and build a team. That's important, to have good people working with you. That'll create the loyalty that you're looking for. Because you don't want any people stabbing you in the back every time you turn around. And, you know, it's a crude way to put it, but this is life, and it happens. So I've got to tell you about it, you know. And even then, watch your back. You never know. Incentives, I believe in strongly. You, the entrepreneur, going out to do business, you're doing it for what? For love? No, you're doing it to make some bucks, so make some money, to live the good life, to fly to the Bahamas like Gary does, and to really be financially independent. Well, the person working for you in their own little way also has needs. Their needs are not maybe to fly to the Bahamas, but maybe their needs are, I need a new car engine, I need money for gas, I need a bicycle, I need a motorbike to use during the weekend. So I give a lot of incentive. I share my profits. So I take X amount of my profits and I do contests and motivational if you're trying to push something in your business, it's a higher commission. So I give a higher commission on a higher profit item so that I sell more of those. If you're trying to push something in your business, it's a higher commission. So I give a higher commission on a higher profit item so that I sell more of those. It's nice to have contests in a short span of time. One of the things I've learned is I don't like monthly contests. If there are two or three or four or five stores there and you do a monthly contest and one store kind of gets a big sale and runs away with it, the other four are disheartened and they don't even try for the rest of the month. So your money doesn't go far. I like to have either a daily or a weekly contest. A weekly contest is nice because it's every week you get a fresh start at a new shot at it. Many times we did daily contests. We used to go and get brand new. And you know, money has a smell. Brand new money has a nice smell. Someone should invent a perfume that smells like brand new money. And we used to make lays. I used to get a woman to sew from corner to corner of each dollar note so it fluffs. And we used to make like a lei, like a Hawaiian lei, and hang it up in the store so people can actually see the money. And I would have a contest. Whoever had the biggest sale of the day would go and pluck $5 from that money tree, from the lei. It was $1 notes, but it's nice to win anything. Even a dollar. And they just go there and proudly, and the way it is sewed on, it's corner to corner, so you can just pluck it right off. And or the person who attended the most customers for the day on a per hour basis, you've got to make it fair, because if they work 12 hours and someone else worked 3 hours, then you don't want the 12 hour one to win all the time. But on a per hour basis, whoever attends to the, you know, in your business, you know, the guy you send people out to put cabinets, whoever does the most, whichever team puts in the most cabinets for the week and you don't get any problems or it's not shoddy work, then that team deserves something extra. They're doing something right. It's a contest. It's an incentive. But I found that real money, looking at money, it does something to the blood. Many times I used to go to on buying trips, and we used to spend $100,000. It was not a big deal. Once a month, if you bought $100,000 worth of gold, for example, I used to actually carry $100,000 cash, and in an attaché, an old attaché that looked like, you know, nobody wants it. I picked it up from the street, and because when you go somewhere and you spend $100,000 with the man, and it's $100,000, it's easy to write a check for $100,000. At that stage, before you write the check, it's hard for you to say, "Well, can I have 2% more if I pay you now?" You know, instead of 30 days, it don't mean anything. But when you open the attaché with brand new money, and we've all seen it on TV. Unfortunately, it's associated with drug dealers, right. and all that. But it really looks nice when you open it, and there's just money inside the attaché, and then you look at the guy and say, "By the way, I've got $100,000 in here. Give me 2%. You can have this whole thing. I'll even throw in the attaché." And 9 out of 10 times they take it. In fact, 10 out of 10 times. It doesn't have to be 2%.
Yeah, it smells a little bit better than the check.
Absolutely. But your eyes, you know, we're attuned to certain things. And again, I don't want to be sexist, but if you see a good-looking lady, you look at her more than you would look at a not good-looking lady. So looking at money, you're attuned to something. Or if you get food on your plate that looks pretty, with the red color, the tomato, and this, it looks nicer. It may taste worse, but it just looks nicer. Your body starts to react towards it. Your saliva glands say, "Ooh, I'm ready to go." So the money gets them all, and the money, let me tell you, I can hear the blood rushing up and down, and usually you say, "Hey, I was gonna take this and spend it with John Brown down the road. I was gonna give you a check. You go ahead. I mean, 2%, 3%, whatever. But 3% of $100,000 is $3,000. You do that how many times?
Yeah. Then the profit you'll make off of the $3,000.
It's your money, you know. So that's what I said. When you get all the juice out of the orange, it's time to make the marmalade. You squeeze a little bit harder, but you got to do it so that the other guy doesn't resent you. Actually, he's happier when he gets that money in his hand. He's like smiling, and he'll probably throw in something extra for you. So you've got to come up with creative ways to make money.
I remember years ago, it has to be at least 15 years ago, that you told me about that. And I never even remembered where I got that from. And now I know. When you had told me that years ago, I got in the habit, and I still do. If I see a car or I see something that I like, I will go to the office, I'll get a check for, maybe they're asking, I don't know, let's say $20,000 for something. I feel $15,000 is a fair price. So I'll get a check and I'll cash some money. I'll put at least maybe $18,000, whatever the most is I think I might go. And I'll pull out $12,000 cash, make the offer. And you're right, man. Their eyes just light up.
Yeah. They take you seriously at that time.
They sure do.
All of a sudden, would you like some coffee? You know, come into my lair. You know, let's talk. It works. One of the things I've done to buy cars at the best price, and boy, I hope I don't get a horse's head on the foot of my bed tomorrow by a car dealer, but one of the things I do is I'll send someone else ahead of me for the car that I like, that I've seen, and I'll send someone else ahead of me. The car is $10,000. Say I want to spend $9,000 for it. I'll send someone ahead of me and use the salesperson's time for a half an hour, 1 hour, and then make an $8,000 offer. And they won't sell it. He will leave, and I'll go in maybe 2 hours later and say, "Look, you know, I really like the car. I'm a different customer, but now I'm offering $9,000 or $9,200. Now all of a sudden I look good." Hmm. You know, so they take me seriously at that time. Nice. So apart from having the money, also have someone underbid, then all of a sudden, because everything is relative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you say small, what's small? An ant is small. The moon might be small compared to the earth. You know, everything is relative. So if a guy makes an $8,000 offer after using the salesman time for an hour, 2 hours, then all of a sudden you're like a white knight coming along with $9,200 in your hand, cash, plop it down. The guy will take you seriously. He'll cut his commission because he's already spent a ton load of time on that car. He wants to make the sale.
I've got an airplane that we're working on trying to buy now. I might have to consider that one.
Hey, Gary, let me go there. Let me prime the man for you. If you tell me you want to spend, say, $1 million for it, I'll go him and offer him $600,000 after I spend 3 or 4 days of his time. He'll be so fed up that when you walk up, he'll be hugging you, and he'll sell you for your whatever price you want it for.
We'll have to do a hidden camera for that one and let people see it. You know, one thing I know from watching you from the years, and I really believe that you are a master at purchasing and buying, and you gave us a hint about, you know, doing the cash and making an offer. And one thing that I like to, when people call me up to get the price right, and they ask me, you know, would I like to purchase this, or, you know, can we do business with you on this? One of the first things I ask them is, are you willing to give me 60 days credit? And if I get them to do that, that's a good thing. Also, too, that helps me see that, you know, at least they're not a cash poor company.
Okay, now let's take it a step further. I do it a little bit different from you. What I do is I'll tell them, can you beat my price? I don't even approach the fact, can you give me 60 days? Of course I want the 60 days, but I don't use that. I say, I want the best cash price. I'm paying $1.52 for this. I buy 10,000 at a time. Hey, if you can beat the price, why wouldn't I want to do business with you? So usually, you know, if they're serious, if they think they can, if they say, we'll get back with you. They go to the top of the company. The salesman shaves his commission. They do whatever it takes. They come back to me and say, okay, we'll go down to $1.48. And that makes me happy because, you know, I'll save 4 cents, whatever, 10,000 times. Then at that stage, I go for the 60 days. I go for the jugular because now he's salivating. I've already told him that's a good price. I like it. I think that's a good price. I really appreciate you going out there and batting for me. And then, you know, sometimes in business, there's good guy, bad guy. You know, I'll excuse myself. I'll come back and say, God, bookkeeping is beating me over the head. We're a little cash poor at this time. I got to have 60 days to make this thing for me to put my John Doe on this. Now, the man has spent a lot of time on it. He's been to the president. He's sworn to them that he's going to make the sale if he gets the price. You know, 60 days is all that's standing between me signing that paper. And again, Gary, you know, 9 out of 10 times, I get it. So I get the terms and the price. And it's those little pennies, and I say pennies, but they add up to dollars. And those are the dollars that you take that same money, that exact saving, and you put it into that account that we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
And just let that grow. That is your intelligence money. That
yeah.
is your negotiating money. That is your excess, your cream that you wouldn't have made otherwise. That money, let that grow. You'll find it makes a difference in 10, 20, 30 years. Forget about it.
Yeah.
Just send it out there.
Yeah, no, I know that's one thing I have the most respect for you on that. You really, really know how to wheel and deal with people. In fact, today, and I thought about you, and I knew the guy, there was somebody, in fact, he came to me, and he was one of our vendors. We use him a little bit, and I knew I was going to go ahead and say, look, I need you to get me a price on this, and the first thing he was going to ask me is what you were paying, you know? So I figured out I came up with a better way, and fortunately had a price on a piece of paper. I said, here's what my budget is. And I said it was like, I think it was $5,000. He said, well, what are you paying? I said, well, here's what my budget is. So that also got him all confused now.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting to go back to the office after leaving you and find out if we were able, you know, to get the price within the budget.
Things are tough. People want to sell. People want to say, this is not a great time for people to be saying no. They want to sell. They will step down. And if he gives it to you for the $5,000, then make sure, Gary, otherwise I'm going to come there with a baseball bat
right.
and hit you. You make sure you get 60 days.
I'm going to get 60 days.
You will
Bank
get
on
60
it.
Days.
Bank
you just,
on it.
Hey, you say, my wife is a bookkeeper and she's nixing the deal. And, you know, we're partners. And, hey, are you married? Oh, yes, you are. Well, you know what I'm talking about, buddy. Right, there you go. So, you know, I don't want to be in the doghouse. Give me the 60 days. They'll give it to you.
Yeah.
You'll get it.
And like you said, it doesn't sound like much. But if you're dealing with, you know, tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars, that's a lot of money. But even if you're a small business person and you learn to do things, even if you're buying a $100 item or a $200 item and you're starting your business this way and you have the ability to negotiate some of these things, it's good training for people to learn to do that.
Yes, because, again, it's relative. You do it on $100, you do it
Absolutely.
On $100,000.
Yeah.
So it's all relative. Make up your mind never to pay full price for anything, period. Make up your mind. Just say to yourself, paying full price is not an option. And I don't care if it's a store like a chain store, JCPenney, Sears, Best Buy, Circus, I don't care. You can still get a better price. You find something that has a scratch or a dent on it or something, you'll get. If you don't ask, you won't get it.
Yep.
That's like God telling the guy, hey, buy the ticket and I'll let you win. You've got to ask. I usually ask. I usually say, I'm a small businessman. This is a terrific item. I really want it, but I can't afford it. Is there some sort of corporate discount that you have or something I can get? Because, we have to fall within our budgets.